Luke was a historian. When we come to his account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's an account that he put together after talking and interviewing with several people who were related to Jesus about that time. I imagine that Luke had talked to the women that had gone to the tomb. Certainly he had talked to Peter many times, especially when we see how many times in the book of Luke, or the book of Acts, which Luke wrote, he referred to stories about Peter. Certainly he talked to Peter about that morning when Peter ran to the tomb just to check out the women's story, see if it was really true. Luke had talked to many people, and he had put together this story of the resurrection. I think it's really good for us to pay attention to it because I think it tells us a lot about what really matters about the resurrection. I hope the resurrection matters to you. I pray that it's made a difference in your life. I pray that you understand that because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, it means that he can have a personal relationship with you and that he can be a living Savior living in your life, in your heart, and he can make a difference in your existence. I hope that we don't lose the meaning of the resurrection in all the activity that sometimes we have on Easter and Easter weekend, that we truly take time to think about the fact that the cross was real, the suffering was real, Jesus paid for our sins, he took our place, he offers us forgiveness, but that wasn't the end of the story. When they took him down from the cross and put him in a borrowed tomb, he took our sins with him to the grave. And he offers us forgiveness. Then on the third day he rose, just as Luke tells us here in chapter 24. Hope we never lose that story because that is the gospel. It is the good news. We can't live without it. We can live without a lot of other things in our lives, but we can't live without Jesus. It's impossible. It was early morning. I wonder if the sun had come up yet. And the women had gathered spices and walked to the tomb. They knew where the tomb was because they had followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus when they took Jesus to a tomb. It was a borrowed tomb, and they laid him there. And the women knew that that's where it was, and so they knew how to get there. One thing I think that they may not have thought about was the fact that they had seen men roll a stone over the opening of the tomb. And there was probably wondering, how are we going to get in there with the spices to prepare lovingly our Savior's body? But when they got there, miraculously they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and when they looked in, the body was gone. I think Luke is trying to help us to understand that when it comes to the resurrection, it makes a difference because it was a historical fact. These women discovered an empty tomb that day. And it amazed them. And in fact, the scripture tells us that it perplexed them. They really didn't know what to make of it. It was something that happened to them. It was historical. It was a claim. I hope we understand that the resurrection makes a difference because the tomb is empty and it actually happened in history. When we look at the empty tomb, it's not just that Jesus came back to life in spirit, but he was bodily resurrected from the dead. Angels claimed it, and the Bible recorded it. Jesus died and he rose from the dead. It was not a hoax. It was not a trick, not a figment of someone's imagination. Jesus died and now is alive. And you might say this morning, well, you know, is there any really real reliable evidence of this? Well, one of the things that we note about this story is those men who guarded the tomb, and the stone rolled over the tomb, and they guarded it just in case. And when they came to their senses and they realized and looked at that the stone had been rolled away and the body was gone, and yet they had been there the whole time, they went into town and reported what would have happened and reported that the tomb was empty. And what did the chief priest and those who had assigned these soldiers to guard the tomb say to them? They said, don't tell anybody about this, and they paid them money not to say what really happened. Someone just didn't steal his body. He was resurrected. The stone was rolled away, not so Jesus could get out, but so that we could come in and see that the tomb was empty. There have been many other objections. Some have said that there is really no reliable historical evidence of the resurrection, and yet we have over 5,000 copies of the New Testament manuscripts, all written within a century of what happened that day. In fact, scholars have looked at it and said that these copies are 99.5% accurate. Someone has said that we have more historical evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than we really do of the existence of George Washington. But you might say, well, you know, how about non-Christian evidence? How about non-Christian accounts? Doesn't that give more reliability to the resurrection? I think one of the things we need to understand is that those disciples who discovered the empty tomb were so convinced of the truth of that, and the women were so convinced of the truth of that, that they stood in front of hundreds and thousands of people and preached the resurrection of Jesus. And they were willing to do that even under the threat of being thrown in jail or being persecuted or even sacrificing their life for it. Who is going to die for a lie? Not many of us in this room would. They were convinced that the resurrection was true, that it happened. They had not only experienced the resurrected Christ, but some had even seen the empty tomb. There's not too many people that will die for a lie. We all know that Christianity has the reputation, I think it's false, that we have a problem with women. I love you, women. If you were at brunch, you would love them too. But in that day and time, women were to be quiet. In fact, they weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law in that time. But who were the first ones to discover that the tomb was empty? God, didn't you think about the messaging of this whole thing? Didn't you think about if women were the first to announce the resurrection, it would not have the same credibility if it were men in that day and time? But God chose those women to be the first evangelists, the first witnesses of the empty tomb. And they ran back into town and they shared the news with Peter and the other 11 disciples. If God had on his mind to make it as credible as possible, he would have had men do that first, especially for that culture. But the women were the first evangelists. Well-documented historical and literary and empirical proofs of Jesus' resurrection from the dead has been handed down through the centuries and through the generations, and we can have confidence in the fact that we have a Savior who conquered death and rose from the dead. But you know, the women who were so convinced, they had seen the empty tomb, and they'd come back to town, and they went to the 11 disciples that were left and told them what they'd seen and told them what they'd experienced. And those disciples heard what the women said. And notice what Luke said to us in this scripture. I think maybe some of the men used these words to tell Luke about their first reaction to hearing that Jesus had risen from the dead. Luke says that to them, It was nonsense. Our world hasn't changed much, has it? In fact, there may be people in this room this morning and worshiping with us today that the resurrection to you just seems like nonsense. Well, it seemed like nonsense to the disciples. And they had walked with Jesus and loved Jesus and heard him teach and preach. In fact, the women and the disciples had heard him talk about the fact that it was necessary for him to go to the cross. He was going to be betrayed and he would die on the cross. And on the third day, he would rise from the dead. When it was announced to those women that day that that's what had happened, those women believed it. And they were willing to go share it. And when they got to the disciples, who should have accepted it and should have been prepared for it because they'd heard what Jesus had said, the whole ministry that they'd been with him, they looked at what the women had said and they passed this judgment on what they'd heard. Maybe it was because it was women. Maybe it was because they were so upset they couldn't see and remember what Jesus had said. But Luke said it seemed like nonsense to them. I hope you understand. If you're here with that kind of attitude, this is just nonsense. Or if you're here this morning and you're struggling with the proofs of the resurrection, I hope you understand that what you need is not more proof, and what you need is not more time. What you need is just have the willingness to believe. You see, it's not that you can't believe. It's just that you will not believe. And that's what happened to the disciples. They had all the backstory. They had all the evidence. They had been taught. They had sat at the feet of Jesus. They knew what Jesus was planning. They just put all that out of their mind. And they refused to believe because they didn't want to. You see, what we need to understand today is that we don't need more proof. I used to ask a person I'd be talking to about their faith, and they would raise all these questions, and I would ask them, if I could answer every question to your satisfaction about the validity of Jesus Christ and the validity of his resurrection and the validity of that he's alive today, would you give your life to him? No. Because see, it's not an issue of proof, even though proof is valuable. It's an issue of the will. Will you believe him? Will you give your life to him? Will you understand that he lives and he wants to come into your life and change your life? That's what we discover, the resurrection. Resurrection was a historical event. The question is not, can I believe this? The question today is, will you believe it? It's not only a historical event, but the resurrection matters because it's good news. It's good news in a bad news world. Television and media and Facebook and all that stuff has just accomplished one thing for us, and that is that we hear more bad news more often. The historical fact of the empty tomb is not just news, but it is really, really good news. Remember what the man, the angel, said to the women, that it was necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise on the third day. Those women heard those words. To them, it was not just a pretty good idea and not just one of many plans. There was one way and one plan and one way for salvation and redemption of mankind from their sin into an eternal home in heaven. This was it. The Son of Man must be handed over. Necessary that he be betrayed and crucified and risen on the third day. And the women, when they heard these words from the angel, they remembered they had heard these words from Jesus. They had heard Jesus say these very same things. And Jesus had told the disciples this over and over and over again. What were they thinking when they said, just sounds like nonsense to us. The God of the Bible is a promise maker and a promise keeper. Jesus promised to go to the cross and to die for us and rise on the third day. And he kept his promise. And he's alive today. Salvation is the promise of all promises. On the road, Jesus said it. And in the garden, Jesus decided it. And on the cross, Jesus delivered it. And out of the tomb, Jesus purchased it for you and for me. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians that disturbed the church, he said that all the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul was saying? He was saying, pick any promise in God's word. Any promise, just pick out anything. And Jesus is the assurance that that promise is going to be kept. And the reason that promise can be kept is because we have a living Savior who keeps his word to us and keeps his promises to us. There's not a promise that's not secured and made valid by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection also makes a difference because it's a story that needs to be told. The minute the women realized that the tomb was empty and heard from the angel that Jesus was alive and remembered the words that even Jesus had spoken about being crucified and on the third day rise again. What was the first thing they wanted to do? The first thing they wanted to do was run into town and tell the disciples about what had happened. Now, remember, in this account of Luke's resurrection, the women have not seen the risen Christ yet. But something changed about them when they heard these words from the angel, and when they saw the empty tomb, and when they heard the words from the angel that they had heard Jesus say before, and when they realized that Jesus was not there because he was alive, they ran into town to make sure others knew about it, but they had never seen it themselves. Remember the story of Thomas, who missed the first appearance of Jesus? And when the other disciples began to tell him about it, he said, I will not believe that Jesus has risen from the dead until I put my finger in his nail print hands and in his feet. The next time Thomas was with them and Jesus appeared, and he said, okay, Thomas, here's my hands and here's my feet. And he bowed down to Jesus without doing any of that. He bowed down to Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. And remember what he said to Thomas. Blessed are those who believe, but blessed are those who never see but believe. These women hadn't seen. They had heard. Something changed in their life. When the resurrection is in our heart, it will come out of our mouth. And that's what happened with the women. The resurrection makes a difference, and it needs to be told. The resurrection also demands a response. Every time the gospel is proclaimed, every time you hear what the Bible says about God, about your sin, about how Jesus died on the cross for you, and about how you can experience Jesus as your Savior if you place your faith and trust in Him and repent of your sin, every time you hear that, it demands a response. God doesn't let you off the hook. God has a way of imprinting that on your heart. And though when you hear it, you may deny it and you may reject it, yet sometimes it stirs in your heart a curiosity about God. But not to respond or to respond in a negative way is to reject God's goodness. Peter went to the tomb that day. He ran to the tomb to check things out. He wanted to see for himself that what the women were talking about was actually true and that Jesus was not there. Have you ever gone to dead places to try to find life? Notice that the angel asked, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" You get the irony of that question? Why are you in a cemetery seeking Jesus? You know that Jesus rose from the dead. Death cannot have any victory over him. But how many times in our own life we seek life through the dead works of the law, and we seek life through trying to do everything ourselves, and sometimes we seek life through the opening of a beer bottle or a whiskey bottle, or we try to find pleasure in sexual things, or we try to find pleasure in what the world can give us. And those are all dead ends. That's where death is. And a lot of times we think we can find life in the dead places of our lives, and we can't. It's proven here, I think, in this text. The women went there to find Jesus, but he was alive, and they weren't going to find him in the cemetery. Peter went there to make sure that what they said was true, but he wasn't going to find Jesus in the tomb because Jesus was alive and he wasn't there anymore. What we need to understand about Jesus and what the resurrection says about us is no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what we may be facing, no matter what kind of struggles we may be having, we're not going to find the answer in the dead things of the world. We'll find the answer in a living Christ that extends his hand to us and wants to come into our heart and life and make us brand new. And that's what the resurrection says to us. Peter went away amazed. But this isn't going to be the end of Peter's amazement. Peter had a lot of unfinished business to deal with Jesus. And it would be dealt with by the Sea of Galilee over a campfire when Jesus said, "Peter, do you really love me? Do you really love me?" Folks, the resurrection is true today. We ignore it at our harm. We treat it as a fantasy or a myth at the expense of our destruction. And we ignore it at the expense of a life that has meaning and purpose. I invite you to an empty tomb today. I invite you to a resurrected Jesus and Savior. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we pray today that your word will just be encrafted in our heart and that we would be willing to come into your presence today and remember the scripture that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. Father, if there's one here who's never experienced that in their life, I pray today they would call on you for salvation. And Father, I pray today that you would give them the confidence, the leading to either talk to myself or to someone here about that decision, here, either here at the front as we sing or at the back. So Father, work in our lives now, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.